Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Two weeks ago, I started a series, Love God with Everything, in Every Place, at Every Time. We started talking about Jesus telling us the greatest commandment wasn't listed as one of the Ten Commandments. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your children. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Very practically, we talked about how we can love God with all of our hearts and worship, how we can love God with all of our minds and our will and our emotions through prayer, surrendering to Him. We talked about loving God with all of our strength to the best of our ability. Loving God, we talked about last week, loving God in every place was not about every place that we go trying to create a place of worship or a place of prayer, that we don't go to a place of worship. Instead, we never leave because our lives are the temple and our lives are a place of worship. Our lives are a place of prayer. Our lives are a place where the Word of God reigns and the temple is portable. When I think about loving God at every time, I'm not thinking about loving God at 2:36 p.m., 11:13 a.m. I'm not thinking about a specific time. Love God with everything in every place at every time. I think of this. It's not the position that the hands of a clock are in. It's the position that our heart is in. Psalm 34, David wrote this, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth," when Olu talked about my times are in His hand. Loving God has everything to do at all times, is in the seasons of life and in the times that change. Lisa talked about those who come walking in the door this morning full of joy and those who come with grief and sorrow. The mountaintops and the valleys of life. We don't have to pretend either way. We get to be real and authentic and say, life is great or life is really hard. But Genesis tells us this about even just the natural seasons of nature. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. That the weather and seasons will always be changing. And we find that's true not only in nature, we find that in our lives, that we go through seasons of life. Scripture will say, those of you who are strong, bear with those who are weak. And it doesn't mean that we're always strong or that we're always weak. There are moments and seasons and ebbs and flows. Sometimes we're strong, sometimes we're weak. When we're strong, bear with those who are weak. When we're weak, hang on to those who are strong. Not only do weather seasons change, seasons of life change. Can't tell you how many young moms Audrey and I have talked to. We've said, just hang on. Moms who are exhausted by their little blessings. This season, you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through all the diapers. You're going to make it through all the spills. You're going to make it through all the laundry. You're going to make it through all the sleeplessness. It's a season. Just hang on. We've had those same conversations with university students. Just hang on. I know it's hard. I know the late nights. I know all of the work, and it seems like forever. And it's only been 1 week. But hang on, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Look how far you've come. The answer to loving God at every time, when the times are changing so much, is this. The answer is simple. You love Him based on your covenant. You love Him through the seasons based on your covenant. Love is more than a feeling, a passion. It's a commitment and a choice. I say that in every wedding ceremony that I do. When I'm talking to the bride and groom, there's a window when I get to just talk to them, kind of ignoring the congregation. I look at them and I talk to them about love. I say love is more than a feeling or a passion. It's a commitment and a choice. Groom, when you say to bride, I love you, you're saying, I will be patient with you, I will be kind to you. Bride, when you say to groom, I love you, you're saying, I will not be selfish, I will not be rude, I will lay my life down for you. Then I explain their wedding vows and how significant wedding vows are. The wedding vows are really the covenant. You're making a covenant with each other. And it's amazing that God makes a covenant with us. The word covenant appears more than 300 times in Scripture. And a covenant is more than just a contract or a legal binding. It is an irrevocable pledge. You are bound. It's amazing that God binds himself to us. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant, a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. So I say to them, go ahead and turn to each other and pledge your vows. I, Barry, take you, Audrey, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to love and to cherish, to have and to hold. And now I want to talk about these three statements, and this is where we are. When we talk about loving out of covenant, this is how you love God at all times. It's out of covenant. It's out of like this, a wedding ceremony. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And then often people will say, until death do us part. And I always encourage the couple to say, for as long as we both shall live, because I'm never a fan of death showing up in the wedding vows. But this is how you love God at every time. You love him out of covenant. We made this covenant to serve you and follow you, and we're yours and we're in. Let's talk about the for better or for worse. It means that every time, in the good times and the bad times, we're going to love you. When loving him gets us everything, and when loving him costs us everything, we're going to love him. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I do. And then Jesus talked about what his future was going to look like. And when I think about Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached a sermon. Scripture says this, and they were cut to the heart. And over 3,000 people gave their life to Christ that day. Not too long afterwards, a man named Stephen preached a sermon. It says the same thing. They were cut to the heart, and they stoned him. For better or for worse. God, I'm in this, not just what's in it for me. No relationship works very well, especially a marriage relationship, a covenant relationship, when it's only I'm in this for what's in it for me. For better, for worse, I'm in this. God, I love you and I serve you and I follow you. And if even things get worse for me, I'm still in. My love for you is not based on how things turn out for me. If life just gets harder, it's okay, because we're going to go through this together. And if it's persecution, probably we would realize, not if it's persecution, but when it's persecution, we're still in. This week, I don't even remember the context. Something just went really sideways and it was really hard. And I don't even remember the person, but they said this to me, this isn't what you signed up for. And I remember smiling and saying, no, this is exactly what I signed up for. For better or for worse, when things are easy and when things are hard, we love God out of covenant. Jesus had talked about the Apostle Paul and said, I have shown him the things he must suffer for my sake. And think about the Apostle Paul and the tremendous ministry that he had, but it wasn't just all parades. Watch this, Acts chapter 21, verse 8 to 15. On the next day, this is Luke writing, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip would have been, he's named as one who was with Stephen, the guy we talked about who was martyred in the early part of Acts. House of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, stayed with him. This man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and we stayed many days. A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. But when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. when we heard these things, both we and those from the place, that place, pleaded with him, pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus. This is what I signed up for better or for worse." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, and we just said this, "The will of the Lord be done." After those days, we packed and went to Jerusalem. It wasn't just a willingness, they actually followed through. Paul replied, you're carrying on and weeping. I'm not only ready to suffer, but I'm ready to die. For better, for worse, I'm in palaces or in prisons, I'm in. When we come to this next line, for richer or for poorer, isn't it interesting that money shows up in wedding vows? How powerful is money? Of all the things God said, you can't serve God and mammon. That line has to do with what we have or what we don't have, for richer, for poorer. But it's not going to change our love. Possessions, things can grip us. I'm so encouraged by Olu's testimony when Jesus said that life does not consist of the things that you possess. And it's difficult because sometimes our possessions possess us. And the rich young ruler came to Jesus and went away sorrowful because he had many possessions that not only did he have a grip on, but they had a grip on him. So often this comparison for richer or for poorer, it is that, it's a comparison from what we had or didn't have, what we have now, what we used to have, what someone else has compared to what we have. Mostly it's a point of reference. You know, there's places in the world where you open a cupboard and if you have a choice, you're rich. You open your closet, you have a choice, you're rich. Remember going to, I said about India and the poverty we saw in Calcutta and other places. A few years ago, we also went to Costa Rica, went into this little town, 45 degrees. We go into these little tin shacks. We're bringing coffee, rice, beans, and sugar. And you'd think that we've given them, you know, they won the lottery. It's such a skewed perspective for richer, for poorer. My love, God, for you is not based on what I have, what I don't have, what others have, or what others don't have. Paul will write this in the book of Philippians to the church in Philippi, where he had been in prison. "Not that I speak in regard of need," he said, "for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." My dad always thought that verse was funny, and he thought he was funny, because he'd say, "Whatever state I'm in, whether I'm in Arizona, Montana," or, you know, he'd chuckle, but he and Ellen would chuckle. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to have little, and I know how to have lots. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And here's a verse that often we pull out of context. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Doesn't mean you can be an astronaut. A nuclear fit doesn't even mean you can pass the test. Right? I'm going to pass this test. Well, did you study? What it means is whatever you go through, God will give you the strength to go through it. Whether you pass or whether you fail, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He will strengthen you. You can get through anything. And then it goes on to say, he goes on to write, "And my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Okay, for better, for worse, for richer, or poorer. And then we get here. In sickness and in health. Man, that's tough. In sickness and in health. Even Job knew this. Sickness, a lack of health, that can be a deal breaker. At one point he will say, "The Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then look what happens. It says in Job 2, verse 3, it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, even though he's lost everything? There's none like him on earth, blameless, upright man, who fears God and shuns evil. He still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. Stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd and began to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife came to him and said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. When I am sick, my lips get me in trouble. They sound a lot like, honey, can you get me a drink? Everything can change when we're sick. When we don't feel well, that shows up not only in our bodies, sometimes it shows up in our mouths with what we say. One of the biggest struggles we can have about sickness is when we believe who God is and what he is able to do, and sickness still touches us, or sickness touches someone we love. We'll continue to serve God and love him in sickness. See, the problem is we believe that God can heal. We believe that God is willing to heal. We even believe it's God's will to heal. And then it gets so muddy when he doesn't heal. And there's so many armchair theologians that have answers that aren't helpful. We just don't know how it works. God, if you're all powerful and not healing me, are you all loving? God, if you're all loving and not healing me, are you all powerful? We believe God is all loving and God is all powerful. So how does that work that you're not healing me or healing the one that I love? It's just so hard when sickness touches other people. When we kneel beside the bedside and pray, be crying out. I'm weary of praying, God, guide the doctor's hands as much. And I love the doctors and I love the medical staff. And I'm so grateful that God has given them wisdom and the ability to do what they do. But it's just, God, where is the healing? We come back to our covenant in sickness and in health. I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust and I'm going to hope. And if sickness remains, I'm going to still love the Lord because I'm loving him out of covenant. For better, for worse, in richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. Loving God at every time in covenant is not a denial of his good plan for our life, or his provision for our life, or our healing for our life, but there are seasons we go through. And so we love him in all those, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That is how we talked 2 weeks ago about loving God with everything within us. Last week, in every place, because there is place in us. And at every time, whatever season of life we go through, may we love God because we love him out of covenant. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we want to love you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. God, help us to love you through worship, through prayer, through knowing your word. And God, we want to love you in every place. By welcoming you into every place in our lives. And God, because of our covenant with you, we choose to love you at all times, in good times and bad times, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And not even death shall separate us. God, we want to love you with everything, in every place, at every time. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.